Good morning. 7:31 a.m. Sunday, July the 10th, 2015. So yeah, today I have to make up for lost time. I opened the word processing file, I looked at it, got sidetracked, and never went back. By the time I realized that, I was gonna write 3,000 words today. It was 10:30 at night. I was exhausted, and I didn't. I'll take a zero for the day. It was a green day for the walk, but a zero day in red for the word count. So, you know what? Today's another day. And we'll deal with today. All right, what I'm thinking about this morning is something I've thought about a lot. I've talked about a lot. I'm loath to talk about it anymore. It came up because, or I'm thinking about it because, somebody picked up the article that Barnes & Noble is going to start stocking indie books in paper in the bookstores. And what a great opportunity this is for indie authors. No. Maybe if you live in a big city. Maybe if you manage to get a significant number of books in a bookstore in a format that people will buy. Maybe. But the problem is one of scale. This is the thing that drives me a little bit. It's scale. You get your books in one bookstore. 1,000 people visit that bookstore every single day. If you write science fiction, about 1 in 25 care about science fiction. Generally speaking, these are not heavy readers. These are people who read a book or two a month. So 250 people a month will be there looking for your book. That's 8 or 9 a day, 8 people in that store. Now, granted, you can get into multiple stores, but you really have to be in all the stores for it to be even close to being significant. Now, I've said for a long time that the nearest bookstore to me is 40 miles away, and I learned recently, it was recently, there's one 13 miles from me. There's Barnes & Noble, 13 miles away. So, I could drive over to Barnes & Noble, burn a gallon of gas, take an hour, twenty minutes in the store, and look to see the same books I can look at on Amazon on my desk without leaving the house. And the reality is, most of the books that I find in Barnes & Noble are not going to be books I'm going to buy. I don't read and haven't read traditionally pubbed books for a couple years. I with the exception of a couple of nonfiction works that are only traditionally pub, the couple of books that I got on sale because Barnes & Noble, because the publisher was busy screwing the author over to make sure that the book stayed in print so they didn't have to revert to rights. And I contributed to that by buying a copy of the book on sale. Good morning. Lady walking, very lovely red and white Springer Spaniel. I think it's a Springer Spaniel. So if I go to Barnes & Noble, what I'm going to find is 99% books by trad pubs I'm not going to buy. And 1% of the books that are selling really, really well on Amazon. And chances are, if it's a book I'm interested in and it's selling really, really well, I've already got it. At the moment, I'm having trouble finding new stuff to read because the majority of space opera is being provided by the same 5 or 6 people. And I'm done with them for the most part. Some of them I was done with relatively quickly. Some of them I've read 4 or 5 books and discovered that they keep writing the same book and changing the names. Oh, please. Your car will be out of the way before I get to where I need to walk. Yeah, and even on Sunday morning, 7 o'clock, Sunday morning, 7:30, Sunday morning. Somebody's at that stupid intersection. So, yeah, it's like, God. They all write the same story. And I just grabbed a sample for one that looked interesting. It's slightly different. We start with a big battle. Actually, we start with a picnic. We actually get to meet the characters before we get a big battle. And the main character dies. Except doesn't die. The ship dies. He gets captured. It's not a bad book. The sample was so relatively engaging. But it's like, okay, we spent a lot of time getting this guy's ship blown up. It was well done. I will say that. But it's not. It's the same old story. It's the same old story. John Ward sent me the article about how their researchers have discovered that there are only 6 stories. Good morning. And, yeah, we've known this since Vonnegut. Talked about his patterns. This is an interesting piece. Look up Vonnegut and Patterns, and it's actually a lecture that somehow got recorded and digitized and put up on YouTube. The Story Patterns, I think, is the name of it. But we've known this for a long time. We've known there are only 6 or 7, maybe 11, but a finite number of plots. And the plots are the plots. There, you can combine them, mix and match them, trade them with your friends. You can have different characters engaged in different plot strands, and interacting with people who are in side by side but different. And I think that makes a very rich story. I think it makes a wonderful story. I think you also have a hard time. I have a hard time planning that stuff. I find a lot of the space opera, a lot of science fiction in general is same old, same old. I was glad to find Maggie Hogarth and her series, which was delightful. Oh, and I haven't read Lisa Cohen's new one, Shuttle and Dreadnought. Dreadnought, Shuttle, whatever it is. I haven't read that either. I keep waiting for Dan to put out his sequel to Ships of My Father, but monk post. I haven't seen it come out. If he's got it out, if not, I'm in his, he's in my circles, but I'm not seeing it. So I'm having a hard time finding new stuff to read. I've gone through a lot of stuff. I really liked Jamie McFarlane's Privateer series. It took me 3 tries to get into the book, but once I got into the first one, it was cool, and then it was followed by a novella. And I read the novella. It's like, that was a pleasant hour. But, and then the third book was actually a novel. And I think I read the sample. And actually, I think I read the book. And then the next book was a novella again. And that was where he lost me. Good morning. That was where he lost me. It's like this novel, novella. Even though they're two sort of different timelines, they cross over enough to make it irritating to me. So I had to stop. Some of the powerhouses there. I tried Chris Nuttall. I've tried a couple of Chris Nuttall. So one of them I liked. But his main franchise, something about a carrier or something, Enterprise, or no, that's not it. I don't know, maybe it is. Enterprise is Webb. No, that's Constellation. I don't know. They all blend together, and that is the problem. None of them stand out. They're as bad as trad pubs. The only thing they have going for them is that they're cheaper. And it's like, I haven't been able to get into Rick Brown. I tried Rick Brown a couple times. Alan Black has a book out that I read just recently called, I think I mentioned it before, Rusty Hinges, which is his fourth book in the Metal Boxes series, which I quite enjoy. It's a lot pulpy. It is very, very pulpy science fiction. I like the guy. I like Stone. I like his Drascos. I like the way the universe is sort of unfolding. I think I've spotted the thread for his next book, or at least a book that will come that doesn't have anything to do with fighting the bloodthirsty, irrational, and somewhat stupid alien invaders. There's a lot of blood in the scuppers with his books. I don't have necessarily anything wrong, I don't have any problem with blood in the scuppers. This last book, they lost a few people who were characters, and so there was grieving involved, so that was an interesting touch. I think he's lost people before. There's always some people who always get killed out. New people come in, old people die. So there's this sort of ongoing pattern, the circle of life. Somebody cue Disney. Anyway, but I'm having a hard time finding new space opera. I'm having a hard time finding new science fiction that I think is interesting. I suspect it's because I've read so deeply into that particular sub-cat, space opera, that I'm not seeing books in other genres. I'm not seeing other subcats. I've read some time travel. Time travel is interesting. There's a series. Something about St. Mary's that I thought was cute to begin with, but then they went to Jack the Ripper. It's like, really? You did Jack the Ripper? I finished the book, but it was like, oh, come on. And they also have vampires. No, that's not the one that has vampires. This one has vampires. There's a dimensional shift book. Right? This girl has the power to step through spirals into time because she's a time traveler. And her progenitors were immortals, but her immortal blood has been thinned. But there are six families of immortals, and it's a little bit... And the first couple books were good. Again, I went back to Jack the Ripper. I'm done with Jack the Ripper. I'm done with vampires. I'm done with werewolves. Paranormal time travel doesn't make it work for me. It just means I'm taking a book that I might want to read about time travel and turned it into a book that I have no interest in by adding werewolves and vampires. It's the danger of mashups. That's the danger of putting mashups together. What was it, Jane Austen and Sea Serpents or something? Although I keep hearing that Abraham Lincoln Vampire Killer is actually pretty good. Abe Lincoln, okay. Vampire Killer, not so much. And that's pretty weak sauce. That's pretty low in terms of attracting me to a particular story. If all you got is Abraham Lincoln and vampires, no, I'm not going there. I don't even enjoy Harry Turtledove's alternate histories of the Civil War. I read one, I think. A, he's tried pub. B. He does an excellent job. It's his forte is creating these alternate worlds based on a shift in history. I really don't care. It doesn't reach out to me and grab me by the nose. That's probably why I read so much trashy romance. I'm pretty sure I know what I'm going to get. And the only question is, how are they going to do it? And generally speaking, they all do it different ways. How do we get these people to completely fail to communicate? And then, how do we get them to finally break through their barriers? And there's always this scene where one or the other is forced away by something that the first person does, and then they're both miserable until somebody comes to their senses and says, "No, this sucks. We've got to get back together again," for the dramatic conclusion of happily ever after, or at least happily for now. Speaking of for now, right now I'm at the back gate. Tomorrow's another day. And with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.